Hey there, Pastor Ben here, concluding our study through the book of Galatians, looking today at the final verses in chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. We've been on a long journey so far, and the special part about the verses we read today is that these were written by Paul himself directly. Now, up to this point, he would have been dictating the letter to an assistant, someone who was writing the words for him, but the words that we'll read today, Paul tells us right away that these are his signature, and there's a significance in the way that he writes it. So let's read what he has to say. Verse 11. Look at what large letters I use as I write to you in my own handwriting. Those who want to make a good impression in the flesh are the ones who would compel you to be circumcised, but only to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even the circumcised don't keep the law themselves, and yet they want you to be circumcised in order to boast about your flesh. But as for me, I will never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world has been crucified to me through the cross, and I to the world. For both circumcision and uncircumcision mean nothing. What matters instead is a new creation. May peace come to all those who follow this standard, and mercy even to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, because I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So, Paul, again, directly writing now this letter, this part of the letter, says, look at what large letters I use as I write to you in my own handwriting. Now, there's a few different ways scholars interpret this. Some see this as Paul's passion coming out, and so he just can't help himself but to write largely. Him pointing it out might be in the same way that we use bold or all caps or underlining in order to show the emphasis. This is really important. This is something I don't want you to miss, the things that he writes beyond this point. Some scholars think maybe he's somewhat upset and writing in this way, in the sense of writing as though he's writing to children. Now, whatever the interpretation might be, we know that Paul taking the time to write is important enough to then listen to what he says. And he says, as a concluding idea, this issue of circumcision that has come up time and time again for the Galatians and the Judaizers that within them, that those who want to make a good impression in the flesh are the ones who would compel you to be circumcised. So we know later on in this passage, and also earlier in this letter, that circumcision itself doesn't mean anything. If someone wants to be, great. If someone is, great. If someone isn't, great. But this idea of being compelled to be circumcised, this is where the issue is. These people who say you must do this in order to be a part of the family of God, right? That's the false teaching that has pervaded. And then Paul puts forth a reason for why the motivation of wanting to be circumcised. He says that they only want to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. So there's a couple different persecutions that he could be referring to, and maybe is referring to all of them. The idea of Gentile believers not being persecuted by Jewish believers, right, in order to mend the fence there. And we see that example in Paul having Timothy circumcised, that sometimes it's better to avoid the issue rather than stick to your guns, right? We don't want things to become stumbling blocks, but for these Gentile believers to avoid persecution from within themselves, that is one type that of persecution Paul might be talking about. It would also be from those who are still in Judaism, right? Jewish non-believers wanting to just those who haven't quite understood Christ and don't understand their Jewish brothers who are now hanging out with Gentile believers, they also would have been persecuting those, both the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers. And so the Jewish believers wanting the Gentiles to get circumcised in order to have the Jews who are not saved not persecute them is possible. And then another one might be that the persecution of Christianity as a new way of living. So the Roman Empire at the time would have recognized Judaism as a tolerable religion, and those people would not have been persecuted for their beliefs. However, Christianity was not viewed that way. And so perhaps in order to avoid governmental or legal persecution, being circumcised and being able to say, no, I'm associated with the Jews and that's okay, would have been another persecution they may have been trying to avoid. And then Paul sets up the approach that he would prefer them to take in the next verse. In verse 14, he says, in verse 13, he says, for even the circumcised don't keep the law themselves, yet they want you to be circumcised in order to boast about your flesh, right? The human works, this idea that something I can do that's going to make life better for me and make me more holy in God's eyes, more holy in other people's eyes, right? Paul says, that's not where the glory is. That's not where the boasting is. He says, as for me, I will never boast. Again, some translations use that word as glory in anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this idea of crux, this cross, crucifixion, was not something that polite society in the Roman times would have talked about. They used a euphemism of a cursed tree. They would use that word instead of cross because it was such an awful way to die. And Paul here puts up this great juxtaposition of, I'm going to glory in the cross, right? I'm going to glory in crucifixion. Again, not literally any crucifixion, but pointing clearly to Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross for us. And then he takes the analogy further, one that he had set up earlier. The world has been crucified to me through the cross, and I to the world, right? Back in chapter 5, he talked about crucifying our old selves, right? Being ourselves crucified in order that we might live in this new way. And again, that reminder that that's what the freedom of the cross really truly is about, is being able to say, I don't have to live like the world anymore, because what Jesus has done in me. And then he reiterates, for both circumcision and uncircumcision mean nothing. What matters instead is a new creation. So once again, reemphasizing, he's not condemning those who are circumcised. He's not praising those who are uncircumcised. He's saying, wherever you're at, whatever status you're at in life, physically, that is not the issue here. The issue is having a new life in Christ. And taking the focus off of the old, off of the law, and putting it onto grace and freedom that we have in the Spirit. And then he says, may peace come to all those who follow this standard, and mercy even to the Israel of God. So in the section previous, we talked about being misled, getting off the path. So this idea of following the standard is this idea of the narrow path, the true guiding line, the thing that's going to keep us on the trajectory that we want to go. And that comes from focusing on being a new creation in Christ, not on the works of the flesh and trying to, in our human effort, make it happen. And he's, again, pointing out the ease in which the Jewish people specifically are struggling with this idea, whether Jewish believers or non-believers, the thought of what feels like to them abandoning the law and saying it no longer matters. But seeing that this new standard, this new creation in Christ, this new way of living really is an ultimate, it's the ultimate way of being Jewish, really. It's really all of the Old Testament pointing to Jesus, and trying to get them to recognize that. And then he concludes the letter. He says, from now on, let no one cause me trouble. I think the idea here being like, let's stop arguing about this issue. This is no longer needs to be an extra burden on my psyche, my person, my effort in conversation. Let's move past this. This is, I've done a great, clear job through this letter of teaching the truth about it. So please, let's not continue to have this issue pop up. And then he says, because I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Now, this idea of marks of Jesus is not talking about stigmata. He's not saying I have, the nail wounds and the spear in my side, right? That's not the marks of Jesus. He's saying I've suffered as persecution as a Christian. I have battle wounds, physical wounds from being beaten, from being jailed, all the different things that Paul has gone through because of the cross of Christ and because of his belief and his sharing of that belief with the world. And so he's saying, listen, you're worried about persecution. I've experienced it. So let's move on to this new way of living. Let's move on to works, or move away from works and move on to fruit of the Spirit. Let's move on to bearing one another's burdens. Let's get past this law issue of circumcision. And finally concludes it with, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So grace is the last word that he throws at these people, which is so important. He doesn't say, you better get this right, and if you don't, I'm going to be mad when I come to you, right? He closes the letter with grace, knowing that that's ultimately what these people need, to recognize, to give one another, and to see that they have from God. And if we were to go all the way back, right, Paul opens the letter with grace to you and peace from the God and Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. So this capstone of grace, getting something that we don't deserve. Just pointing out again that law doesn't create in us the deserving factor, right? Otherwise, it's not grace. If law were able to accomplish it, it no longer becomes grace. And so as we finish this letter up, as we consider just all the teachings that we've had through this, let us rest and embrace and run in to life with the truth of God's grace being sufficient for us, of God's grace being the thing that colors our lives as Christians, not how good we've done, not how many times we've gone to church, but to really, truly see that God has freed us from the bondage of those worldly, fleshly ways of living. And we get to live out a new life in Christ.